CD 3.
There was no real day or night here. That had given Albert trouble at first. There was just the bright landscape, and above, a black sky with stars. Death had never got the hang of day and night. When the house had human inhabitants, it tended to keep a 26-hour day. Humans, left to themselves, adopt a longer diurnal rhythm than the 24-hour day, so they can be reset like a lot of little clocks at sunset. Humans have to put up with time, but days are a sort of personal option. Albert went to bed whenever he remembered. Now he sat up with one candle alight, staring into space.
"She remembered about the bathroom," he muttered, "and she knows about things she couldn't have seen. She couldn't have been told. She's got his memory. She inherited." "Squeak," said the Death of Rats.
He tended to sit by the fire at nights.
"Last time he went off, people stopped dying," said Albert. "But they ain't stopped dying this time, and the horse went to her. She's filling the hole."
Albert glared at the darkness. When he was agitated, it showed by a sort of relentless chewing and sucking activity, as if he was trying to extract some forgotten morsel of tea time from the recesses of a tooth. Now he was making a noise like a hairdresser's U-bend. He couldn't remember ever having been young. It must have happened thousands of years ago. He was 79, but time in Death's house was a reusable resource. He was vaguely aware that childhood was a tricky business, especially towards the end. There was all the business with pimples and bits of your body having a mind of their own. Running the executive arm of mortality was certainly an extra problem. But the point was, the horrible, inescapable point was, that someone had to do it. For, as has been said before, death operated in general rather than particular terms, just like a monarchy. If you were a subject in a monarchy, you are ruled by the monarch, all the time, waking or sleeping, whatever you or they happen to be doing. It's part of the general conditions of the situation. The Queen doesn't actually have to come around to your actual house, hog the chair and the TV remote control, and issue actual commands about how one is parched and one would enjoy a cup of tea. It all takes place automatically, like gravity. Except that unlike gravity, it needs someone at the top. They don't necessarily have to do a great deal, they just have to be there. They just have to be.
Said Albert. "Squeak!" "She'll crack soon enough," said Albert. "Oh, yes. You can't be an immortal and a mortal at the same time. It'll tear you in half. I almost feel sorry for her."
"Squeak," agreed the Death of Rats.
"And that ain't the worst bit," said Albert. "You wait till her memory really starts working."
"Squeak."
"You listen to me," said Albert. "You'd better start looking for him right away."
Susan awoke and had no idea what time it was. There was a clock by the bedside, because death knew there should be things like bedside clocks. It had skulls and bones and the Omega sign on it, and it didn't work. There were no working clocks in the house, except the special one in the hall. Any others got depressed and stopped or unwound themselves all in one go. Her room looked as though someone had moved out yesterday. There were hairbrushes on the dressing table and a few odds and ends of makeup. There was even a dressing gown on the back of the door. It had a rabbit on the pocket. The cosy effect would have been improved if it hadn't been a skeletal one. She had a rummage through the drawers. This must have been her mother's room. There was a lot of pink. Susan had nothing against pink, in moderation. But this wasn't it. She put on her old school dress. The important thing, she decided, was to stay calm. There was always a logical explanation for everything, even if you had to make it up.
"Squiff!"
The Death of Rats landed on the dressing room table, claws scrabbling for a purchase. He removed the tiny scythe from his jaws.
"I think," said Susan carefully, "that I would like to go home now, thank you."
The little rat nodded and leapt. It landed on the edge of the pink carpet and scurried away across the dark floor beyond. When Susan stepped off the carpet, the rat stopped and looked around in approval. Once again, she felt she'd passed some sort of test. She followed it out into the hall and then into the smoky cavern of the kitchen. Albert was bent over the stove.
"Morning,"
he said, out of habit rather than any acknowledgement of the time of day.